Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, happy Thursday, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen, and this is Healing House Radio. For those of you in the LA area, the call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for those everywhere else, including here in the beautiful San Jose, San Francisco Bay Area, which is actually, you could not ask for a more perfect day. The toll-free number is 877-697-9725. As usual, producer Kaina will be manning the chat room, so if you have any questions, she will make sure that they get to me, and I will be spending a little bit of time hanging out in the chat room after the show. So, today, what are you waiting for? And this topic kind of presented itself through a conversation that I was having with a friend. And the discussion basically went, well, as soon as this, and this are in place, then I'll be able to do this, and this. And I started wondering about that and how often we set up this scenario where either everything has got to be perfect or everything has to meet a certain criteria in order for us to move forward. And as I usually say, there's light and shadow in everything. How do we draw the line between the idea that we are carefully planning and setting everything in place that needs to be in place, or flipping to the other side where we are subconsciously sabotaging ourselves? And what I mean by that is when we set up the requirement of this perfect scenario where anything less is not going to allow us to move forward, that can be really tricky when we need to move forward. Sometimes it is not going to be the perfect time, and there is no such thing as the perfect time, whether it's to get married, to have children, to buy a house. It's always that idea. It's like, well, as soon as everything is set up, as soon as everything is perfect, then I will take this leap of faith. I will move into this other space of either, you know, my own life, or maybe it could be a job, or maybe a relationship. But the idea of kind of getting caught and trapped in the idea that a certain level of perfection is needed, that the optimal situation, well, let's see, I'm going to wait to have kids until I know I've got like $100,000 set aside in the bank and everything is set, and, you know, based on that and when I get married and I'll be this particular age and that's the age range I want to be. You know what? Nothing is perfect. And it's never going to be. There are always going to be little glitches that come in and things that force us out of our comfort zone. And really, it comes down to being stuck in a space where we want everything to be able to work inside our comfort zone, where we don't have to struggle. Because isn't that the whole point of wanting to have this, you know, set scenario, is that that will prevent struggle? That if all of these things are set the way I want them to be, then I don't have to worry or stress, or, you know, everything is going to fall right into place if these criteria are met. And we can meet all the criteria and things still go south. We could have everything set up perfectly and a monkey wrench goes into the system. We cannot control all the variables, and figuring that nothing less than our envisioned scenario will allow us to release the fear of uncertainty and to be able to move forward. Uncertainty is a good thing. It allows us to question, and question we should. We should always question. Fear and uncertainty, yes, when they get the veto vote in the little council that exists in our heads, yeah, that's a problem. If we let fear and uncertainty run things. But fear and uncertainty definitely belong on the council, because those two help us to keep our lives in perspective. It keeps us from putting a bag on our heads and running onto the freeway. It reminds us that we've really got to take into consideration all these things that could affect the outcome of whatever it is we want to do, and whether or not that outcome would actually be good for us. So with fear and uncertainty there to add their two bits, that's fine. Take into consideration all the things that could happen, but don't be locked into it. It is really easy to get locked into the way we envision the world as the way we want it, the way we envision it as we think it should be. And when something happens, to come in and shake all of that up. If something happens to take us out of our comfort zone, to take us out of the carefully scripted, you know, little play that we chose to act out, anything can happen in a moment that can change everything. If nothing has taught us that, this past week has taught us that. And, you know, my heart, you know, is just so full of prayer and good wishes, as I know for the rest of you, for all those who were affected by what happened in Boston and in Texas. You know, there was an explosion there, and, you know, there have been many deaths, that there's been many, many people injured. And when things like that happen, it reminds us that we do live in the moment. Yes, we have our comfort zones, and yes, we do like them. That's why they're our comfort zones. And it doesn't mean that you should constantly work on being outside of it. It's nice. It's a great place to visit. And you shouldn't pitch a tent there. It's a wonderful way to experience a break from all the stuff that's going on. But understand that for the most part, the stuff that builds us as human beings, the stuff that makes us better, the stuff that makes us stronger, are all outside of the comfort zone. There is very little that we have new to learn inside of the comfort zone. Do we need it? Absolutely. Because we all need to be able to take a break from that, whether it's just finding a place for yourself that you can, you know, rest comfortably, you know, going to the beach, going to the woods, just sitting at home, taking the phone off the hook, which, you know, that kind of shows my age, the whole idea of taking the phone off the hook. But being able to step out of the world and go into that warm, comfy, sweet place that maybe you need to rejuvenate yourself, that is wonderful, and that is awesome. Should you try to spend all of your time there and never leave it? You can. But how much are you going to learn? How much are you going to grow? When you think about those things that took you as far out of your comfort zone as you could get, that's the stuff that gave you something. It either gave you wisdom of saying, you know what? I do not like that, and that is never going to go on again, and that is not for me. But you still learned something. Or it could be you went way out of your comfort zone, and it was the best experience you could possibly have. It was thrilling. It was amazing. One of my friends, for her, stepping out of her comfort zone was getting on a roller coaster. She had never been on a roller coaster. Throughout her entire childhood, she had never been on one. And she was in her 40s and decided she was going to get on a roller coaster. She said it just scared her unbelievably when that first, we all know that first big dip that you almost feel like you're lifting out of it. Well, once she got past that, and she said she screamed the entire time, which, hey, that's not a problem. But when she came out of it, she realized, oh, my God, I've been missing that my whole life. And, you know, while she said she wasn't going to become an enthusiast of roller coasters, but she wasn't afraid of it. And she might see one and go, well, yeah, I think I'll take a shot at that. So it becomes a situation where we have to take a look at what it is that our comfort zone is focused on. Is our comfort zone focused on protecting us from the outside world, or is it just a place where we can step out and take a rest? So it's important to not take that, you know, are we waiting for the entire world to become like our comfort zone? Are we waiting for everything to just fall into place and to be there? I know folks who say, well, when I win the lottery, you know, not if, but when I win the lottery, I'm going to do this. I'm going to travel. It's like, well, you know, there's a lot of people who travel without winning the lottery. Does that make it a challenge? Yes. Does it make it something that you earn? Yes. And do we usually appreciate the things we earn more than what's just given to us? Yes. I mean, or at least that's the trend. When we have to work for something and we get it, there's this added bonus, this added cool place. Because not only did we get what we wanted, we realized that we challenged ourselves and we got what we wanted. So look at what it is that is on your one-day list. The best story that I have regarding that is my sister, who at the age of 28, 6 months after the birth of her second child, was told that she had breast cancer. And she died at 34. And one of the things that she experienced was a seminar for terminal cancer patients, and she said that she was told to look for the gift that cancer gave her. And she said when she first heard that, she thought it was the most ignorant thing she could possibly hear. But then she thought about it, and she said the gift that cancer gave her was it took away someday. Someday no longer exists. Someday began today for her. She always wanted to take rumba lessons. So she took rumba lessons. And she wanted to go to the New Orleans Jazz Festival. And so she did it. She always told herself that one day when her finances were all put together and she had the time and all these things were in place, she would take her children to Disneyland. Well, the finances weren't perfect, but they were good enough. And she took her children to Disneyland. She was in a wheelchair, but she took them. And these are the things that they remember about her, especially her daughter, who was very, very young. She was only 6 when her mom passed. And because she was so young when my sister was diagnosed, her whole life, her mother had been sick, but my sister was a tenacious person, and she went ahead. She said, okay, I've got this, and I cannot change that, but I can change what I do with each and every day that I do have. So she decided there was no point in waiting, which is a tremendously cool thing. When we open that doorway and really ask ourselves, what are we waiting for? Is it that we never married because we're waiting for the absolute, completely 100% perfect guy. I don't think that the absolute 100% perfect guy exists, just like there is no absolute 100% perfect woman. And you can find someone who is perfect for you. Someone whose, you know, virtues and weird quirks and their light and their shadow complement yours very well. Someone who can be your best friend. Maybe they're not perfect, but neither are we. So if we're waiting for that absolute perfect person, you know what? There may be a really cool, not so perfect person who's right there, who cares about you. Well, you know, I'm going to get the perfect car for me. I am not going to, you know, I'm going to save up my money and save up my money, and I will accept nothing but that perfect car. Well, okay, you can do that. And if you're going to do that, don't complain that you're taking the bus every day. If you've got enough money, it's like, you know, I could get a nice, reliable little secondhand car that while I'm saving up for my dream car, I can be able to get around and do the things I do and get a better job and all these other things. There are no paths that are closed. They're just still under construction. They're still getting finished. And we don't know when is that perfect time that we're going to be able to come in and experience and just have the universe be exactly what we need it to be, what we want it to be. Now, there's a big difference between those two. What we believe the universe needs to be like, what our world, what our lives need to be like, as opposed to what we want our world, our universe, and our lives to be like. We need shelter. We need food. We need water. We need oxygen. You know, those are needs that we have. We want that shelter to be a nice house that doesn't cost us an arm and a leg. You know, we may want a particular type of food. Really, you know, tasty food or homegrown comfort food or, you know, whatever it is. The things that we choose based on what we want and what we need are two different things. Are we waiting for what we want or are we waiting for what we need? You know, if you have no home and, you know, my prayers go out to you, you need, you know, you may be waiting for what you need. You need a home, whether it's sharing a room, whether it's staying with a friend, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. That's a pretty evident need as opposed to, you know, being without. When we start putting conditions on it, that's when it becomes what we want, which is not bad. It's not a bad thing to want something. It's not bad to want something nice, especially if maybe in your life you haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to have really what you want. I have never owned a brand new car. Would I like that at some point? I suppose. I used to. There was a time when that was my criteria, when my life, you know, is in a certain way, and when I'm making a certain amount of money, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a car that no one else has ever driven. I mean, I want like 1 mile on the speedometer. Okay. And after a while, I thought to myself, well, the car has only one purpose, to get me and my stuff from one place to another. And do I have to have one that was never owned by anyone else? That's not so important to me anymore. Reliable, decent mileage. Do I care that somebody else may have owned it? Do I care that maybe there's a little ding on the side somewhere? Not really. What we want can change. And what we need stays fairly consistent. Food, shelter, water, air. Those are things that stay pretty consistent. It's when we get into revising it and remaking it into something that is uniquely ours, something that meets a unique need within our hearts. So if you want to wait for that perfect scenario, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But just understand that that's what you're doing. That, nope, I want a red apple. And I really want a red apple. But there's a whole bunch of green apples and there's some yellow apples. And, you know, I could have another apple, but no. If I'm going to have an apple, it's going to be a red one. Okay, I can lock myself into that. And I can definitely enjoy a red apple. That doesn't mean that the rest of the stuff wasn't any good. It's just not what I wanted, and I was willing to wait for it. When we want that perfect person in our lives, one that's perfect for us, yeah, there's a lot to be said for waiting for that. Even if it runs the risk that you're not going to find them. There's nothing wrong with deciding, you know what, I do not want to settle. I don't want to settle for less than, you know, what really is right for me. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. When it gets too nitpicky, when we start putting ideas and requirements on, it's like, well, they have to be this, they have to make this much money, they need to, you know, be this tall, they need to have this much hair, they need to, you know, once we start really adding on all the little nitpicky stuff, yeah, you may end up waiting a lot longer. But if it's your choice to wait, fine. But what are you really waiting for? Are you waiting for reality, or are you waiting for something that you've created or someone that you've created that may or may not be out there in that exact recipe? If you're waiting for a relationship, you know, think about what it is that's the most important. Is it how much they make, or is it that they are self-confident and demonstrate that they can take care of themselves? Is it that, you know, well, you know, he needs to have a big house or whatever. It's like, well, you know, he needs to be, being self-sufficient would be a good thing. But is it a deal breaker? Only you can decide that. Is there a perfect time for having children? I can tell you that there is no such thing. I have two. And I had them when I was in my early 20s. I've been married for a couple of years. And, you know, we started having children. And there are many who are in their 50s or 60s with young children. And for them, that's perfect. You know, there was a time when most folks were married at the age of 16. So they were having kids at 17 and 18. For them, that was perfect. The number of children you have, for some it's one. For some it's 20. And for them, that's perfect. If we're going to wait, let's make sure that what we're waiting for is really what it is that we want. If we're going to set out the idea that A needs to be in place, B needs to be in place, and C needs to be in place before we can move forward, before we can take a risk, before we can take a leap of faith, when we look at what it is that we're waiting for, be real clear on what you're waiting for. Because otherwise you're going to be waiting for a long, long time. And even then, you may not get what it is that you're waiting for. Because my feeling is the universe will supply whatever it is that I need most. And sometimes even supply what I need. But if what I need is not in alignment with what I want, I'm going to get what I need. And the closer and more specific I am with the universe, then the universe can work with me. I was going to take a trip to Brazil. And I had, you know, through meditations and, you know, I just received this very strong urge. And I knew someone who would take groups there. And I was speaking to my friend Norbeth, and I said, well, you know, I really feel like I want to go to Brazil and specifically to the village of Mafia. And he said, well, you know, you need to talk to, you know, give them a call and see if they're still going. Well, I called, and it turns out that for the first time in a few years, they were taking a trip. And I needed $3,000, and I needed it in a week. And I was thinking, oh, my gosh, I do not have that, you know, for airfare and all the other costs, you know, the hotels we were staying at and everything, $3,000 in a week. So I set it down, and I said, okay, universe, this is the exact amount I need, and this is the time I need it in. If this is the right thing for me, if this trip is truly, you know, what I need to do for me to move forward, I'm going to need your help because I don't have this and I don't know where to get it. 2 days later, I received insurance checks from, there were payments for treatments that I had done, you know, one was 6 months old, the other one was 9 months old, that I had been waiting and waiting and waiting and hadn't gotten paid. And within 2 days, I received a phone call from both of the companies saying that they were really sorry for the delay and that they were sending me the money. So, you know, 2 days later, so this was 4 days after my request, the two checks totaled up to $2,900. Which for me, it was like, you know what, that is close enough. I can work with this, no problem. So I went to go visit a friend who I was talking to about the trip, and she said, you know, I have no idea why, but I really feel like I'm supposed to do this. And she pulled out her checkbook, and she wrote me a check for $100. Now, I hadn't told her anything about what I'd put out into the universe. So I received my $3,000 in less than 7 days. And does that mean that I've been able to recreate that? Not so much. But maybe in that moment, the universe said, yes, you need to take this trip. This is important. So, you know, and I could have said, well, I'll wait for another year. I'll wait for 2 years. There was no need to wait. So I put it to you. Think of something that you're waiting for and at least consider the possibility that it could be now. Maybe the time you're waiting for is now. So think about that and find something that you can step up to and take on, and it may not be easy, it may not be, you know, very clear cut, and you may have to work a little bit at it, but do it. Find, even if it's something small, you'll find that maybe there's no reason for you to wait at all. So thank you, my friends. Thank you for joining me again. Thank you for sharing the space with me. We will be back next Thursday. And I will be going into the chat room right after the show. So if there's any of you there who have questions, hang out there. And for those who are listening in archives, blessings to you. And I wish you nothing but the best. And I hope that every moment is the perfect moment for all of you. So until next time. And until we shift into another space-time continuum, I know that's bizarre, but the new Star Trek movie is coming in anyway. I've got way too many friends who are Star Trek fans. So enjoy life. Just, you know, grab onto it because it passes very quickly. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Take care.